Let me give you a quick update for the camp. We were staged there, planning to go into North Florida, part of that area that was going to be hit by Hurricane Idalia. And needless to say, the eye of the storm turned and came straight over the camp property into Valdosta, Georgia. And so we were there. And I was staying in my camper. And so I moved it under the basketball court where that wall is to give it some hitting so it wouldn't hit my camper directly on. And it never moved, wobbled, or anything. But I was underneath there as a hurricane Idalia came through. And I thought I was Jim Cantora on the news channel. I had a young lady that we just hired from Pensacola Christian College that just graduated, and she's going to help us partly with the camp and then part of Hearts with Hands. And so we were out there videoing, and I had my hat on, telling about what was happening and all of those things. And all of a sudden, one of those gusts came through, and my hat flew just totally out beyond the basketball court, out into the wind. And I said, "Did you get that on video?" I said, "That's good right there." I said, because most of the time, those storm chasers, what they do, they're acting like it's really blowing, but on the side of them, you can see there's nothing even happening. But this was really happening. And the storm was coming through, and we got some gust up to 120 mile an hour. And if you've ever been to Venture of Faith Camp at any time, and a lot of your group came down, helped us on the tabernacle, and we're still in the process of trying to finish that building. And we got the inside completely finished, praise the Lord. Everything, the chairs are there, all of the equipment's in there. And so now we're finishing the outside. You started helping us on that, on the front. And we're going to plant sod in front of that, fix all of that up. We got to do a drainage system through there because the water, the way it comes down. We got new gutters put up on the dining hall and the girls' dorm now. And so now we'll pipe all of that in, get that placed out so the water will never be pooling right there again. So can I get amen on that? Because this summer we had several situations that actually it started coming in to the tabernacle. So we were out there with lightning and everything going on, and we were shoveling water and pushing squeegees in the middle of that, trying to keep the water out of it. But if you've ever been there, all the trees that surround the dining hall and then the girls' dorm tabernacle are gone. Everything, it totally demolished all of those trees. Going up the driveway, literally we had to cut our way out of the driveway to get out. And we had probably 50 trees proper right down around all the buildings. And it was like the Lord just took the top out of this one, laid it down, took the top out of this one, laid it down. And everything, when it fell right beside those piles of tops that came down. Nothing hit the building except one corner on the girls' dorm side. And we lost the caboose roof. Where they play carpet ball, it's rolled up like this. And the awning and the porch all the way around the canteen building, it came off, and I watched it go, and it went over the top of the building, hit part of the roof there. But when it did that, we just found this Thursday when we were trying to take some of the old lumber off of it to try to find out what all it did damage-wise. It pushed that wall in, and so had an expert come in Friday. They looked at it. They're going to have to jack the roof up, take two courses of block down, and redo that whole perimeter of that building and rebar it, put all the concrete back in it, and get that secure. And that was not on our plan. Can I get an amen on that? So a lot of things that we're finding out. It took a lot of the awnings off. The fence at the front we just finished, knocked the gate down, the fence down, all of that where trees fell on it, and a lot of different things. So still a lot of cleanup to do. A lot of pressure washing now on the buildings where it threw debris up on everything, and then we'll get back on track. So I was in Miami, Florida, and Hearts with Hands actually started in Homestead, Florida in 1992 during Hurricane Andrew. And so I was down there, and I didn't know that that's the capital of nurseries and palm trees and all of those things. So I spent a few days going to a lot of those nurseries. And so my plans are all of those trees that were in the middle, now we're going to have a tropical palm tree island right there in front of all of that, and replace those trees with palm trees. That's accustomed to doing this. And hopefully that will look beautiful. A lot of the front entryway, we've got palm trees we're wanting to put there, and make it like a little oasis in South Georgia, and a beautiful place to come together. We actually had planned to have the property as a shelter, evacuation shelter, but our power was out with everyone else's. I had to hook our big generator up just because I'd brought food down to fix for folks. And so we put the generator on the dining hall, powered that whole building up so we could keep the walk-in coolers, the walk-in freezers all active during the storm until we got power back on. And so that generator that we have will power up a little city. So we hooked it up, got that going, and was able to keep everything going. So when the storm, after the storm left on Wednesday, we started cutting our way out. Then we went down into Steinhatchee, Florida, and went down there and began to serve folks there. That was where the storm actually came on land and on shore. And I met a gentleman, Brother Gary, that he said, "I rode this storm out in my sailboat." And I said, "You're crazy." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll never do it again." He said, because he watched boats just come flying by him where he was trying to anchor down at. And I can imagine seas going like tsunamis, 30 foot tall, and you're on a sailboat trying to hang on for dear life. So, but he was fine. He's a little crazy, but he was fine. And he came through the line. We were serving hot meals, as well as we do a lot of the distribution supplies with Hearts with Hands. And so we took water, food boxes, and a lot of the juniors this year packed food boxes there at the camp. Needless to say, and unknowing to them, that we would be using those in this area. But that's the ones we used in this area. So we were able to take what they put hands to and have a divine appointment that we could go into these communities and help them. And so it was such a blessing to be able to do that. We did distribution there for a couple days and helped over 1,000 families in that little community. And then we left there, went up into Live Oak, Florida, and right there on the main square where the hardware store is, we set up on a Sunday afternoon, fed lunch to all of those folks, and they were lined up in such a magnitude. They were six wide along the road, and the sheriff's department was there trying to direct traffic. We put them into the gas station that was next to them, next to the hardware store, six wide, came around that building, around the other building, down the road, just to get in front of where we were serving at. And we were able to help over 1,200 families on that Sunday afternoon, feeding hot meals, all the supplies. And we take anything from diapers and wipes for the kids, all of those essentials. We take cleaning supplies that they can clean their house with. Hygiene kits, you think of this, that when a storm hits and they lose everything, they don't even have a toothbrush. So we put those in there, toothpaste, deodorant, all of the essentials that they may have lost in the storm. And so we try to do that. We deliver ice as well, and we take ice down and try to be a blessing to those folks. So we went there. Then in the Valdosta Victory Baptist there, Pastor Steve Ward's, we set up there at his church and did a large distribution there. And over 1,500 families we helped that Saturday there as well. And just trying to be a blessing to folks in times of disaster and storm. And every one of those food boxes, what's so encouraging, every one of them have a John and Romans in those. that go out. So it's a gospel witness. And so we'll get emails back. Thank you for helping us with these with the essentials that we lost during the storm. But thank you most of all for caring enough about us to put the Word of God in there because a lot of them lost their Bibles. So I know Dr. Clarence Sexton's brother, Tom, when we helped last year down in Hurricane Ian, down in southern Florida, Naples, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, he had over 7 foot of water go through his house. And all of his memoirs, all of his writings just floated out the river and out the bay and lost everything. And we went there on a Sunday, helped his church, and they were meeting outside. And so we took hot meals for his whole congregation, took food boxes, all the essentials, and gave those out to his congregation on a Sunday right after the storm and trying to be a blessing and a help. So I love what Hearts with Hands allows us the privilege to do as a ministry, not only to be a blessing, but to help a lot of missionaries across the world, a lot of things that we get the privilege and honor to do. We went to Turkey during the endeavor of the tornadoes or the earthquake that hit them. And we set up a large gospel tent right in the old city of Antioch. And that's where they did their feeding. That's where they did their medical, all of that for that community. So we were able to go there and be a blessing to those folks as well. So Hearts with Hands is part of Greg Lynch Ministries, and the Adventure of Faith that you've supported and been to for years is a part of our ministry now. And it's just a great opportunity to see God work in so many different avenues, so many different ways. A great report. We had over 100 young folks saved this summer through the camp. A lot that surrendered to full-time service, surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just want to continue to invest in the next generation and continue the legacy of that location. There's brand new newsletters that's on the table as you leave. Don't forget to pick one of those up, one per family if you would. And then also we have the winter youth retreat coming up. And that's going to be December the 28th and the 29th, right after Christmas, if you would like to have that information. And then we also have the men's retreat, and that's going to be February the 23rd and 24th. Dr. Joe Author, myself, will be there for that. And we're looking forward to all the events coming up at the camp. We'll be hosting the South Georgia Preachers Fellowship, and that will be, I think, February the 5th. We'll be there with them and hosting that there at the camp. So any different way that we can, we want to utilize the property and use it for the glory of God to see the Lord's will accomplished with that piece of property. So again, thank you. Pray for us. Pray that the insurance will help us. I think we're up to, I think, right at $220,000 worth of damage that we have calculated so far on the property with the roofs, the awnings, all of the different things that's been damaged, and the tree work, the labor, all of that that's went in there. We've had several churches come down, help us clean up, help us cut trees, all of those things, trying to get the property cleaned back up. And I had a gentleman and a gentleman that's on our board and then a friend of his that cuts trees for a living. He climbed up in the top of some of those trees that were clipped off and took those trees down the rest of the way for us. And so when I got back down there, they left me a mess to clean up. So they had it everywhere and had trees down on the ground. So that's what we've been doing for the last couple of days, trying to clean those things up. So again, thank you for your support, your prayers. And if you want to help, it's a great time. It's a great way that we can have churches like this that would partner with us and help us, whether it be financially, physically. It's going to cost a lot of dollars to put the camp back together. We were making such great progress, and then this hit. And so a lot of things that we've done, we've got to go back to square one, redo, and put back together. But the Lord's good. Amen. And somebody says, do you get discouraged? I said, no, that just lets me know I'm right on track. Just to reach people. Anytime you try to do that and try to give everything you've got to missions or give everything you got to reaching people, Satan don't like it. But I've got news for him. He's a loser, and we are a winner. Amen. and I appreciate God's goodness. I want you to take your Bible for just a few moments this morning. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to preach this thought that's on my heart. How to fulfill the law of Christ. How to fulfill the law of Christ. When you look in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, we'll look at that in just a moment. But Matthew 22:37, while you're turning, says these words. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart." This lawyer is interrogating Jesus, and here's what his response was. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. But notice this, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." One of these two commandments, on these two commandments, hang all the law of the prophets. So you come into Galatians chapter number 6, and Paul begins to describe this word even further in verses number 2. When you look at this, you got to understand that we are living in the last days. Would everybody agree with me? We're living in dangerous times, according to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're living in departing times that we see in Revelation. We're living in demonic times when Satan is trying to do everything in his power to try to defeat the household of faith and literally take the spiritual breath of the house of God away right before Jesus comes. He cannot take away our salvation. That's forever settled. That's forever fixed in the Son of God. But what is he trying to do in these last days? He's trying to take our spiritual vitality, our breath, and trying to take away the vision that God still has for the church. And until the day that Jesus calls us home or the trumpet sounds, there's still a work for the church to do in these last days. So demonically, Satan is doing everything in his power to try to get this generation and try to get their minds and their hearts and everything away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if there's ever been a time that the church needs to be the church, it is in this day that we're living in. Demonic times, difficult times. It's more difficult than it's ever been to even serve the Lord. Why? Because Satan, again, putting the pressure on the household of faith, getting you discouraged, getting you defeated, bringing difficulties into your life where literally he's trying to take away our spiritual breath and vitality right before Jesus comes. And that's the reason that I believe, fifthly, discouraging times has hit the household of faith. We get through one storm, one difficulty, one problem, and it looks like it's mounting on top of each other, and you feel like that all hope is gone, and you get to the place you wonder, can you make it another day? And you've done held your hand up and said, for the last time, I'm going down for the last time, but you just hang on. Jesus is right on time, and the Lord will help you no matter what you're facing in the discouraging times that we're living in. And you can know this, he promised that he'll be a brother, sticks closer than a brother in the times of storm, and he promised he would not put on us more than we can bear. And so every person inside of this building, when we understand the days that we're living in and the difficulty of these days, the problems of these days, the circumstances of these days, then we must comprehend there's more to do for Christ than there's ever been. Now look in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 2. The scripture says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now notice that again. "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The word "bear ye one another's burdens" has three meanings to this word. It's a medical term when a person has a broken leg or a broken foot, they need a crutch or a walker to lean on that can bear the load of your body. So medically, it's to bear. It's a word that means to bear, to undergird, to carry the load of. And the church ought to be in the bearing business. The church ought to be in the load-carrying business. The church ought to be in the loving business. And the scripture even says to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, every student in this building that has an iPhone or has an Android phone, we are caught up in this day taking selfies. Can I get a witness? All right? And you go to a restaurant and they're taking a selfie. You go to work and they're taking a selfie. You go to school and they're taking a selfie. Everywhere you go, everybody's taking selfies, huh? And it's bad when my mother takes a selfie and sends it to me. She's got on her phone, find my friends, and I'm one of them, I reckon. And she'll text me, and she'll show me a picture of what she's doing, watching Atlanta Braves probably. And she'll be there, and she'll say, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm preaching here, I'm preaching there." And she said, "Well, I wondered why you was in that town." And she keeps up, and I'm 54 years of age, and my mama still keeps up with me, so there's no hope. I mean, they're going to watch you. They're going to keep up with you. They're going to take care of you. And I'm never without the care of my mother. And I appreciate that. But when you think about that, that word means to get a medical term. So this selfie generation is used to doing, they say there's trillions of pictures taken every year that are put on Facebook, Instagram, now X, and all of these things that's platforms for this generation to use, and it's selfies. And we're caught up in this selfie day. We're caught up. That's why 2 Timothy says that we are a generation that we love ourselves more than we love our God. And we're watching now. We're seeing that come to pass. So if you're not careful, you won't have that you love your neighbor as thyself mentality. We're caught up in loving us. We're caught up in us. We're caught up in everything about us. But the scriptures is always opposite of what the challenge is from the world. God's word is always different from what the world's word is. And that is that we are supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes that's problematic. But the scripture nevertheless tells us if we're going to fulfill the law of Christ, I've got to love my neighbor as I love myself. I've got to bear their burden as I'm bearing my burden. I've got to help them as I'm praying God will help me. And I found this out in ministry over the 30-something years that I've been privileged to serve God. Is that if I'm burdened for somebody else and I'm more caring for somebody else than I am my own circumstances, my own needs, it's like God just comes and dumps a handful on purpose right in my lap to help me in the midst of what I'm facing because I'm trying to care for somebody else. And if we would learn that principle spiritually, it would help us. So it's not only this word has it in a medical term, but there's a physical term mentioned. How many like football? Okay. Several of you. Okay. Now, do y'all play football? Did y'all play football? Did anybody play football? Several, y'all play football? Okay. Now, what happens? Can I walk down here? What happens when they're on the front line and a play hits and the guy on the other side of you is bigger than you are and you're trying to hold him off and he comes through and his hit sucker punches you, right? And what you do is you, huh? Right? I mean, I've been there. And you get to that place and the trainer comes off the bench. Normally two, because the guys are so big, comes off the bench, and he comes over there, and what does he do? He gets one trainer on one side, one trainer on the other side, and they lift and they carry that individual, and he may be dragging his feet. He may be black and blue. I mean, he's lost his breath. He can't do it himself. He can't get up himself. And they carry him to the bench and let him rest a minute so he can get his breath back. Bear ye one another's burdens. And when people get sucker punched and Satan and all the imps of hell try to take the breath out of God's people, isn't it something that the Word of God says, how can I fulfill the law of Christ? I can do it by helping my brother that is down on his knees, that has the breath knocked out of him, and help him to keep on going for the glory of God. Every person in this building has an opportunity to fulfill the law of Christ. So not only is it a medical term, a physical term, it's a spiritual term. That I can love my neighbor as myself, to love, to help bear their burdens, to be like Jesus. And when people hurt, you hurt. And when people mourn, you mourn. And when people get in a dire straits and need somebody to call on or somebody to go to their aid or rescue spiritually, you are fulfilling the law of Christ when you go to that individual and you bear their burden. So if I'm going to fulfill the law of Christ, if I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, there's several ways that I can do that. Number one, I can do it in times of sickness. Every person has faced sickness one time or another. And in that times of sickness is a great way for the church to step up to the plate and fulfill the law of Christ, that we can visit them, we can write a card to them, we can call them, we can text them, we can carry a meal to them, and we can let them know that they're not forgotten in their times of sickness. I'm supposed to bear, lift up, carry my brother and sister. My mother just had pancreatic surgery, cancer surgery. And when we went to the doctor, he didn't give much hope whatsoever. And my mother looked at me and she said, well, either way, I'm a winner. If I come through the surgery good, I'm a winner. If I go to heaven from the operating table, I'm a winner. And I said, you can't defeat a person that has that thought and that mindset. And so we went through the surgery. We went back for the checkup after the surgery. And this was just a few, about a month ago, month and a half ago now. And went back, and the doctor says, I don't know, but you're all clear. There's no problems in the margins, and there's no problems around the pancreas. There's no in situations. She's back to driving, she's back to texting, she's back to calling, all of those things. But what I remember most was when she was in the hospital those 4 days, and I took off schedule to go and be there, and I remember the pastors called, people called, people sent balloons, flowers, all of those things. And it showed them caring for somebody else. And it's very important that we at the house of God get away as far as we can from the mentality of ourself and the mentality that we love others. And we need to show, I'm just backing up what your pastor has preached to you for years, but you need to show the love of Christ in the midst of times of sickness, when they're at the darkest point, when they're at the deepest valley, that they'll understand that they are not in this by themselves. They know the Lord is there, but it's something else when God's people fulfill the law of Christ by undergirding, by lifting and carrying, by sharing with somebody else that you love and you're praying for them. So in times of sickness, but in times of suffering, that word means pain, hardship, distress. And there's more people suffering than there's ever been in the history of the world. What are we doing to fulfill the law of Christ in people's lives in times of suffering? We ought to be involved in them. We ought to be helping them. We ought to be praying for them and loving them and caring for them. And we ought to be their burden bearer in the times of suffering. That's why Romans 8:18 is in the Bible. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And thank God, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And God gives victory to the household of faith. But it means all the world, when I learn how to fulfill the law of Christ, loving my neighbor as myself, taking care of them, blessing them, helping them in times of suffering, to let them know that they are not in this by themselves. It means all the world when the church becomes the church in people's lives in times of suffering. Not only in times of sickness, in times of suffering, but very quickly in times of storms. It's been said many times, you're either in the storm, coming out of the storm, or about to head into the storm. And if you're in that calm point in your spiritual journey, hang on. There'll be some rough seas along the way. But in the midst of that, I'm glad Jesus, our example, is always there to help us in times of storms. But when a world that's unglued, and when a world has gone crazy, and when a world is out of touch with reality, what a time for the church to minister to people in times of storms. That's the reason when a storm is coming, normally the governor of that state or several states that storm is presenting the pathway to, especially a hurricane, they'll get on and say words like this: you need to make your property and your house stormproof. What is that? Put up the hurricane shutters, batten down the hatches, make sure there's nothing in the yard that could be like projectiles that could go through the window or the house of a neighbor. Make sure that all the stuff is picked up around your house and make sure you make it stormproof. And I thought about that spiritually. How do we need to make our lives stormproof in these last days, that when the storms of life rage on every side, it doesn't throw us out or kick us out or get us out of the race or get us so defeated we quit on God, but it encourages us in the midst of the storm that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And we know we can make it because God is there with us in the storms. When you think about times of storms, times of difficulty, times of problems, what a time for us to relate to the people around us. The law of Christ is fulfilling that love that we ought to have for our neighbor, for our friends, for those around us, to let them know that we're there to help bear their burden. Notice Mark chapter number 4. Those disciples were on the boat going across the Sea of Galilee. I've been there many times and had the privilege to be on the water. And I've been on it when it's glass, just like a piece of glass, just calm as can be. But then I've been on it when the storms come across Mount Hermon, come down into that valley where the Sea of Galilee is at, and then that water does this. And these guys are fishermen. These guys were accustomed to the sea. These guys were accustomed to the storms coming on the Sea of Galilee. And they run to Jesus and say, "Care us not that we perish? We're about to die out here." And Jesus is there in the bottom of the boat, just having a good time, resting. They come and they get him up and they bring him to the top of the boat. And he looks, and all of a sudden the winds and the seas and the storm is raging, and the water's coming over the boat as they're trying to get from one side to another. And Jesus looks out over the sea and says, "Peace, be still." And all of a sudden, the wind ceased and the storm quit, and the sea became as glass at the power of his mention of the name of Jesus and the authority of his word and his name. And even the disciples looked around and said in amazement, "How can even the winds and the seas obey his will, because he's the God that created them?" And they have to listen to their creator in the times of storm. And aren't you glad that we can be a burden bearer that can shine light to a lost and dying world in the times of storms, that we can let them know that you're not walking in this by yourself, and you've got a God that knows and answers prayer and knows how to help you in times of difficulty and in times of storms. Peace, be still. That the Lord has power to speak that peace into their life and to help them in times of storms. So not only in times of sickness, in times of suffering, in times of storms, but in times of sorrow. When people face loss and bereavement, what a time for the church to bear one another's burden. What a time for the church to step up and be the church and bear their load when they're going through storms and they're going through loss and they're going through times of sorrow that they've lost the person that they loved. One of the heartbreaks of the years of COVID, and we're still dealing with it, I believe a curse that's been placed upon our society, and you see all of the stuff that's still happening. But we lost some dear preachers. We lost some dear friends. One of my precious young men, 53 years of age, he's a professional bass fisherman. And he got COVID. He was one of the ones, if a storm hit, he was always at the warehouse. He would stay from sun up to sun down, whatever he had to do to help. He was right there. He wanted to help people. And he got sick, got in the hospital, went in ICU, put him on a ventilator, and he never came out and went to glory. Hurt, loss. Some people that you love, people that I love, that we lost during that season of time. But in the midst of that, aren't you glad that we can help bear one another's burden? And help them. And as we do that, what did Jesus say? That so fulfills the law of Christ that I'm loving my neighbor as I love myself. And I challenge you today. I don't know what you'll face tomorrow, but you need to learn how to bear one another's burdens. I don't know what you'll face in the coming days, but you need to help bear one another's burdens. And don't so judge and look down on that individual because of the hard place that they're going through, but understand, but for the grace of God, I could be walking in those same trenches they're walking in if I didn't have the mercy of God on our side. So every person in this building, may we take to heart these great words of our Master Jesus, and then the Apostle Paul, as he gives it to the Galatian church, that we are to bear one another's burdens. Everybody in this building knows somebody that's hurting. Wave at me. Everybody in this building knows some people in this building that's hurting. Wave at me. I think about your pastor, and he don't want nobody to say nothing. But I think about him. Back pain is some tough stuff. And my wife's had problems. And I've had a little bit, enough to know that I don't like it. Huh? And it's tough. Because when you feel that pain all the time, that's tough. And if there's ever a time we need to learn how to bear one another's burdens, it's now. And Lord, help us to love each other. Help us to care for each other. Because we don't know the pain that they're carrying. And we don't know the pain that they're bearing themselves. We don't know the pain, the suffering that they're walking in every day. But in the midst of that, may God challenge us to be the real church and fulfill the law of Christ. That's my challenge to us today. How can I fulfill that? By loving my neighbor as I love myself.